You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
You know, it's so fresh and it's still great while it's January. You can still say Happy New Year. I'm thinking about all the New Year's resolutions. Anybody here have New Year's resolutions? Some things you want to do different, you want to do better? That's it? Just like two, three people? How many people have New Year's resolutions? Well, it's a new year and it's a time to take a look at our lives. It's a time to take a look at our priorities and our goals and the things we want to accomplish, the things we want to tweak to make 2018 the best year yet. How many remember the word, the best year yet? This is going to be your best year yet. Put your finger in your chest and say, this is my best year yet. So what am I going to do? What do I need to do to tweak up my life for this to be my best year yet? Well, I want to give you something to think about, and it's something that needs to be a mutual goal of all of ours and something that's a top priority and something that we can build the rest of our resolutions around when we talk about making this the best year yet. And so I want to start here in Mark 16:15, if you'll go with me in your Bibles, to Mark 16:15. While you're going there, just look at somebody and say, go. Look at somebody else and say, go. Mark 16:15, and it says, and this is Jesus, he says, then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Look at somebody, say, go. You know, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and I believe Jesus is still talking to his disciples. He's talking to us today, and he's still saying these words in Mark 16:15 when he said, go. He's challenging us. He's commanding us. He's giving us a New Year's resolution, if you will. He's saying, go. Because I believe that faith necessitates action. Look at somebody say, faith necessitates action. You know, I heard somebody said recently, and I said, wow, this is so articulated so well. It said, you know, I thank God for the cross. It's grace that brings us into salvation, but it's actually the works that help us exercise our faith and help us grow in our faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, well, faith without works is dead. So your faith just becomes dead. Yeah, we come into salvation through grace, but it's with the works that our faith really comes alive and grows. So faith necessitates action. The further along that we get in our journey, we can't stay still. Anybody seen like an elementary school kid? They just can't sit in their seat. The teacher has so much trouble keeping the child in their seat. You know, one of Pastor Corinne's greatest jobs, her most difficult responsibility all week is when they pick up the kids. She picks up the kids from school. She brings them home. I love when Pastor Corinne looks at me like this because she has no idea what story I'm going to tell. So she picks up the kids. She's taking them home from school. And then she gets them home and she sits them at the dining room table. And she says, it's time to do homework. The hardest job that she has all week is keeping these kids on their seats. I've seen her thing. I know you're probably thinking, no, I thought it was pastoring. I thought it was doing beautiful music. No, that's not it. Keeping the kids in their seat during homework time. This is her hardest time because there's so many things. There's like 100,000 reasons why the kids need to get out of their seat. Mommy, I need a snack. Mommy, I need to go to the bathroom. Mommy, I got to do this. Mommy, I got to go check in the other room. I'm a toy. Mommy, mommy, mommy. There's so many things that they need to get out of their seat for. But I wonder if Christians, if believers were like that, that they were itching to get out of their seat to go and do what Jesus was talking about in Mark 16:15. I wonder what it would be like if the people of Hope got stirred up to the point to where we just, you know, we were like, man, I really enjoyed the service. The message was great, but I'm just kind of itching to go. I'm itching for the service to get over so I can go. What would it be like if believers begin to really get Mark 16:15 in their spirits? I believe we need to come into this new year with a fresh look, a fresh perspective. Look at somebody say, a fresh look. Take a fresh look. I want us to take a fresh look at John 3:16. Because I believe when we look at things a lot, sometimes we can take it too common. Sometimes we can, you know, we're not looking at it for a fresh revelation. We're looking at something and we say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know what that says. And we're not looking at it with fresh eyes. But I hope that in January in 2018, we can look at John 3:16 and we can look at it with fresh eyes. Will you look at it with fresh eyes with me today? Look at somebody and say, I'm going to look at it with fresh eyes. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know I'm reading a different translation than what's on the screen. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You can read this translation. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Puedes Dios amo tanto. Okay, I'm not going to. You didn't know. I can read in Spanish too. So this is what the Bible is. This is what the mission of the church, the good news, is all about. And if you can get this, you've got it. For God so loved the world. God loved people so much. He died for people. He redeemed people. He wants to help people. He wants you and I to get involved in the helping of people. He wants you and I to think and to feel about people the way that he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his son for people. For people. What type of people? What type of people is the Bible talking about? Pastor Josh, what type of people are we talking about here? Rich people, poor people, light people, dark people, island people, people from the mainland, people that have addictions, people that don't have addictions. People that have good politics, people that have bad politics. Jesus, smart ones, dumb ones. God's concerned about all people, and God wants us to be concerned about all people. Look at somebody, say all people. Say it one more time. Take a fresh look. We have to take a fresh look at Scripture because sometimes our ears get dull because we've heard certain Scriptures repeatedly, and so we're not really thinking anymore about what it's saying. We're not allowing it to be the living word alive, giving us new revelation. We're just looking at something. So can we go to Mark 12:28 and take a fresh look? 12:28 in Mark, it says, now Jesus, let me set this up. Jesus having one of his many debates with the religious leaders of the time. And this is what happens. It says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate, and he realizes that Jesus had answered well, so he asks, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus replies, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So Jesus here debating the religious people, right? The religious leaders of the day. And of course, Jesus winning, obviously. Jesus always wins. And then somebody gives him a pointed question, all right? But check this out. This guy says, listen, because he's hoping to stump Jesus. He says, of all the 613 laws in the Bible, Jesus, which one is the most important? Does that sound like a trick question to you? Yeah. Of all the 613 laws in the Bible, which one is the most important? And you know what? Jesus had an answer for him. Sure, Jesus said, love God and love people. Love God and love people. I want to just drill down on this a little bit. When we say love the Lord and love your neighbor, what does it mean to love your neighbor? I believe that loving your neighbor includes compassion. What we were talking about at Christmas time, trying to provide for people, trying to help families, trying to give toys to kids that don't have a lot. What does it mean to have compassion? Loving others includes concern for their spiritual life, where they're going, where their journey is leading them. Because the thing is, if I'm loving my neighbor as I love myself, then I want to be concerned about where they're going. Because the way I love myself, I want to end up in heaven, right? So if I'm loving somebody the way that I'm loving myself, then I'm concerned for their physical health and their spiritual health. What road are they on? Is there something that I should be doing? Am I playing a part in that? When we love our neighbors as ourselves, it causes us to be more evangelistic. Listen, when we love our neighbors as ourselves, it causes us to be more evangelistic. Can I get an amen? So Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller, anybody know Penn and Teller? The famous magician and professed atheist. He once applauded a Christian that witnessed to him after a show. And he said this, if you really believe in God and in heaven, you should be doing what this man is doing. Tonight he showed true concern for me. An atheist said, this man showed true concern for me because if you believe in God and you believe in heaven and hell, then you would be doing what this man is doing. He showed true concern for me. Now, I'm going to give you something today that might shock you, but as believers, our primary vocation is a minister of the gospel. This might come as a shock to you. Maybe you thought that your primary occupation was a nurse, a teacher, somebody that moves boxes around or crunches numbers. No, your primary vocation as a Christian is a minister of the gospel. You may get your paycheck somewhere else, but our main assignment, our main focus, our main job actually is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help bring other people into the kingdom, help them grow. That is our primary vocation. Everything else is to help make that possible. Look at somebody and say, you're a minister. You're a minister. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you are a minister. That means your primary vocation. Matthew 28. Say it with me. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, Jesus gave this great commission. And he says, if you're a disciple, if you're my disciple, go and make disciples. Maybe you thought in 2017, you were doing something insignificant, or you were doing something of nominal value, or you were wondering, am I doing something important? I want to tell you, you have the most important job there is. The most important, because your job is to welcome people, to bring people, to invite people into God's family. Jesus died on the cross for this. Jesus died on the cross for us, and Jesus died on the cross for people that might come into his family. And this is what was the joy that Jesus endured the cross for. Jesus endured the cross for the hope that others would come into the family of God. This is what his mission, this is what his passion was. Can we take a look at the beginning of 2018, this beautiful year, and ask, what should my faith journey look like this year? Maybe you looked and say, these are my financial goals for this year. These are my family goals for this year. Maybe this is my job or career goals for this year. But what are your faith journey goals for this year, which is really the most important goals that you can make? What are my faith goals? Should I share my faith more? Should I take somebody or a couple people under my wing to help them grow in God? What are my faith goals? What type of mentality do I need to have to be like what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 28 when he said, make disciples? Am I meant for something greater in 2018? Will you bow your head with me? Father, we thank you, God, for your tremendous freedom and salvation. God, as we look at this new year, God, let us be touched with what you're touched with. Let us be moved with what you're moved with. God, let us be aware of what you are aware of. And let us see the people around us the way that you see them. And take the type of action that Jesus would desire from us. Let us be your hands and feet to a world that doesn't really know what you look like. God, let us have the spirit like the prophet Isaiah that said, "Here am I, God. Send me. Send us to those that are around us. We don't always have to go to a faraway mission field because we have a mission field around us. Every day, people that are around us. God, give us the compassion and the grace this year. God, give us that itch. Give us that fire. Give us that zeal, that passion to be the salt and the light where needed. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that challenge. I thank you for that push today. I thank you, God, that your command is still true 2,000 years later when you said, go into all the world.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.